The Gospel of Luke, chapter 9. I only have one verse to read, and that's verse 11. Luke, chapter 9, and verse 11. The Lord Jesus separated himself and his apostles here in this context, and when he did, the people followed him. Multitudes followed him to the secret place where he wanted to rest with his disciples. In verse 11, and the people, when they knew it, followed him, and he received them and spake unto them of the kingdom of God and healed them that had need of healing. He healed them. And that's my subject this morning, the healing of the needy. He healed them that had need. That's a wonderful thought, isn't it? He healed them. The Lord Jesus, when he first came into this world, in his public ministry, the first message that he preached, he declared why he came into this world. He declared basically his occupation, why he came, and why the Father sent him. It seemed like that he was concerned that some would think that he only came to set up more traditions, or that he was just another Pharisee or a scribe, come to throw off the Roman government, or burden the people with some traditions of men and commandments of men. And it seems to me like he wanted to clarify his occupation from the very beginning in his first message. The first message that we have recorded that our Lord preached was in Nazareth, where he was raised up. And the first words out of his mouth, he made this statement, that God had sent him to heal the brokenhearted. He declared himself to be a physician. I am come to heal, he said. We know he came for different reasons. He came to preach. He came to save his people on the cross. He came to be a shepherd, a good shepherd, to call out his people. But here in this text, we have his occupation. I am come to heal. I am come to heal. And the Lord Jesus came to heal all sorts of evils and all sorts of diseases. It was even foretold of him before he came into this world. Listen to this. He said, I will restore health to thee, and I will heal thee of all thy wounds. He's a specialist. No one ever came to him and him send them to another doctor for some reason that he wasn't trained to heal that disease. Every disease that anyone had that came to him, he healed it. I will heal their backslidings, he said. I will love them freely. I have a friend of mine that's in the medical profession. And he told me one day, he said, some of the most arrogant people and some of the proudest people are in the medical profession. And he said, I don't know the reason for that except they get so proud thinking that they actually heal people. That they're actually the ones that saves men's lives. And he said especially so in the specialist realm. When a man gets into the specialty. And he says he usually gets into the specialty realm to get himself a name. That's why they have to advertise. That's why they want men to talk about how good they are in their specialty realm. Jesus Christ came into this world And he had the right to get himself a great name. The Father sent him on purpose to be a physician to get his son a great name. He's given him his name above every name. And what is that name? The healer. I am the Lord that healeth thee. And I tell you, Jesus Christ is determined to live up to that reputation. The Father has given him that reputation as a physician, and he's lived up to that reputation. The scripture says he went all about Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and healing all manner of sicknesses and all manner of diseases. He's a specialist in every disease. And not only in the physical realm did he heal all kinds of diseases, but I tell you, he's a specialist in the spiritual realm. And that's the main reason he come, isn't it? He heals the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. I tell you, brothers and sisters, I would rather be sick. I'd rather be diseased in my body and have my heart whole as to have my heart sick and my body well. And who can heal the broken heart? The Lord Jesus Christ. He is indeed the physician. When Peter first went down in Acts 10 to preach to the Gentiles, he had got a hold of this business about the Son of God being a physician. And here's the first words out of his mouth when he began to preach the gospel. He said, Jesus of Nazareth went about doing good and healing all that was oppressed of the devil. The devil for 4,000 years had kept the Gentiles in the dark. He had oppressed them in their hearts. He kept them discouraged in the minds. And Peter said, the physician has come to heal you of your oppression of the devil. I don't care if it's physical. I don't care if it's spiritual. Jesus Christ is the physician for all manner of diseases and all manner of sicknesses. He that made the body can still heal the body. I think sometime you and I have allowed the Pentecostals and the charismatic to steal from us this precious truth that the Lord can still heal the body. We don't major on that, but He can still heal the body. He made the body, and when the body is sick, if He's pleased, He can heal the body. I know He uses means now for the most part. But it's Him that does the healing. I never will forget one time. I was so sick. I don't know what happened to me. I woke up vomiting. I vomited all day. My wife finally took me to the hospital, doctor's office. He examined me and he said, I don't know what's going on with you. I'm not going to put you in the hospital. I'm going to send you home with a prescription. I thought, send me home. I'm dying, man. I'm dying. I gagged all day. Oh, green vomit. Oh, it was awful. I'm going to send you home. And my wife took me by the house and set me out, and she went to get the prescription, and I went in and fell by my bed and said, Lord, if you will, you can heal me. And just like that, my sickness was gone. It was gone. And we burned wood at that time, so I just went outside and started splitting wood. My wife came back with this prescription and she pulled up and she just stared at me. She just stared at me. And I said, babe, the Lord healed me. I don't make a big deal out of that. That's just healing the body. I'm still going to die. But the Lord can heal the body. And He whose back was plowed deep with the furrows can heal the broken heart. By His stripes we are healed. He healed them that had need of being healed. And you and I can remember this. He never refused a patient that came to Him in their sickness. Do you read anywhere that he turned anyone away? He never did. He never did. And he never attempted to heal and failed. Multitudes followed him and he healed them all. He healed them all. Now one thing our text doesn't say, it doesn't say that he healed everybody. I imagine, well, we know there are sick people among the Jews in this day that was not healed when Christ was upon this earth. Some of them were healed when the apostles started preaching. And don't you imagine that there were many sick people, and when the Lord went about healing, there were many sick people who died in their sickness? There were many blind people who died in their blindness? Many people paralyzed that died that way? Well, sure there was. Well, then who did he heal? Those who had need. That's what our text says, isn't it? But you say, Bruce, everybody had need. But here's what our text reveals. That everybody did not know they had need. How many people die in our day only to discover that after they died of some awful disease they didn't even realize they had? The scripture is speaking here about those who were conscious of their sickness. Those who had this need and came to the Lord Jesus Christ, the physician, to be healed. He healed those who had need. That's what our text is saying, isn't it? And I think there's a principle taught here in our text, and I think it's this. Everyone who knows the plague of his heart, everyone who knows something of his lost condition before God, and who's heard of this Jesus of Nazareth, the mighty to save, he comes to the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. That's what we see in our text, isn't it? He healed everybody that had need of being healed. In other words, everybody that was conscious of their need came to him to be healed. And it's the same way today, spiritually speaking. Everybody that knows something of their lost estate, and they've heard the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he's the only Redeemer, they come to him. They come to him. This text tells us something else this morning, doesn't it? If you're here this morning and you've come to Christ, you've come to God by him, this text tells us why you came. Because you needed him. Why did you come? Why did you come when you did? Why didn't you come before you came? You came when you felt your need of him. He healed those who had need of being healed. And if you're here this morning and you haven't come to the Lord Jesus Christ, this text tells us why you haven't come. You don't need him. And ain't that sad? Ain't that sad? We preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We tell sinners that in him is life. Through his blood is forgiveness of sins. That he's the mediator between man and God. And yet man will not come to him. And this text tells us why. They don't need him. Ain't that an awful sin? That's an awful sin. It's awful for a husband to tell his wife, I don't need you anymore. It's awful for a child to tell their parents, I just don't need you guys anymore. How awful is it for a sinner to say in the face of such a great Savior, I just don't need you. I just don't need you. He healed those who had need of being healed. My message this morning is for four classes of people. Four classes of people. And maybe if you're here this morning and you fit into this class, then this message will help you. My first point this morning, and the first people I want to speak to, is those that perhaps feel themselves too sinful, too vile, too unworthy to come to the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved by Him. You feel maybe like if you came to Him, He'd be so repulsed by you that He'd send you away. There are people like that. Not many. It's been my experience that most people are too good to be saved. But there are some people who have seen something of their sin and unworthiness, and they're afraid to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. They're afraid to. And if you're here this morning and you are like that, I want to tell you a story. And it's a true story. And it's a Bible story. There was a man got up one morning from his bed and he noticed a little white spot on his arm. And the next morning it had spread just a little bit. And he thought to himself, I'll go to the priest. They know about things like this. And he became very concerned. He went to the priest. He went to the synagogue to the priest, or if he's in Jerusalem, he went to the temple to the priest to be examined to see what the spot was if the priest knew. And the priest said, we've got to keep you up for 7 days and see what this spot will do. In 7 days, the spot had spread all over his arms and on his back and on his face. And the priest said, you've got leprosy. Man, you've got leprosy. They wouldn't let him go home to his family. They sent and got him some clothes. One of the scribes, or one of the Levites, took his clothes and ripped them, gave him a rag to put over his face, and said, you've got to live outside of society. And when somebody approaches you, you've got to cry out, leprosy, leprosy, unclean, unclean. In just a few weeks, that man was full of leprosy. Dr. John Gill said, if you had saw the man, he had no hair left on his skull. Every time he rubbed it, it came off and exposed the white skull. If he was full of leprosy, his nose had rotted off. His ears had rotted off. His privates had rotted off. Huge boils had risen only to bust and rise again and bust again until his skin looked like fish scales. And one of the things that was just as repulsive as his appearance was his smell. His skin was running black and green goo that you could not get near him for his smell. His blood had gelled to the point that his heart could not hardly pump blood. He was full of leprosy. What a repulsive, vile, unclean man that he was. And the Lord Jesus Christ was preaching nearby. And the man heard that he was preaching. And he broke all the Jewish laws and said, I'm going to this Jesus of Nazareth. This man in his repulsed condition, his appearance, his smell, went and fell down at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what he said? Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. That man broke every law in the book. If he showed himself in society, he was to be stoned. Wasn't allowed to go into the temple, not allowed to go back to his family. He wasn't allowed to be around anybody. And here he approached the Lord of glory and said, if you will, you can make me clean. And you know what the Lord Jesus said to that man? I will. Be thou clean. You know what leprosy is a picture of in the scripture? You know why God set that leprosy forth, that no one had the ability to heal it? You know what it represents in the Scripture? Sin. What this man's condition physically was and how he smelt is the same way we view our sin when we really see it as it is. Job said, I am vile in thee. I'm a vile man. How can a man that's born of a woman be clean? There's one way, and that's Jesus Christ, the great physician. You feel vile this morning? Maybe you're here and you feel so vile, you think, if I came to the Lord, He would turn me away. I don't dare approach unto Him. I am so vile. Here's a man that came. He came. He came in his vileness. And the Lord healed him. Brothers and sisters, don't let conscience make you linger. My dear lost friend, don't let conscience make you linger. When conscience sees itself as it really is, vile, that's the time to go to the Savior. Just like this man did. Just like this vile leper did. Why? He healed those who had need. Isn't it amazing that the Pharisees and scribes never came to Christ? And the vile leper did? They were so pretty. They washed their skin. They had on their beautiful robes. Oh, they were a sight for sore eyes. This man was repulsive. This man went to heaven. Those went to hell. Why? They didn't need the Savior. And He did. That's why men perish. That's why men perish. They don't need the Savior. There's another class of people. There's another group of people that I want to speak to this morning, and it's this. There are those who say, I don't know how to come to Christ. I don't know how to come to Christ. I've talked to people that way. They say, how do I get to Christ? How do I come to Christ? I don't understand how to come to Christ. I can't see my way to come to Christ. And I'm not here to tell you that it's an easy thing to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because He's in heaven. And we're here upon this earth. And when you and I come into this world, we are blind spiritually. And the devil has blinded our eyes. And we're in the kingdom of darkness. There's where we're at. And it's not uncommon for somebody to say, Bruce, I don't know how to come. How many people have told me that? Why don't you come to Christ? I would if I knew how. It's not easy sometimes. Some people have no problem with it. There was a Philippian jailer who the Lord saved almost immediately when he saw his need. He had whipped Paul and Silas, threw them in jail, and went to sleep. You talk about man with a seared conscience. The earthquake came and he was awakened and he started to kill himself. And Paul said, don't do yourself any harm. We're all here. He said, what must I do to be saved? I am a lost man and now I've just found it out. What must I do to be saved? And Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you say, I'll be saved. And in that very night, the Bible says, he believed in the Lord with all of his house. And he rejoiced he was saved. It ain't that easy with some people. I was reading an account of a salesman of some kind. He stopped at a motel and he found a Bible in a drawer. And his testimony was, I was not seeking the Lord. I never even thought about seeking the Lord. But he said, I got the Bible out and began to read it, and I was terribly convicted of being a sinner against God. And he said, I read in there that Jesus Christ said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And he said, the Lord opened my heart and saved me right then and right there. Now, that's not the general rule, is it? That's the exception. A lot of people, boy, they feel, they pray, and They'll say, I just don't know what else to do. I've read my Bible. It's like there's no words on it. I can't get any instructions from it. What must I do to be saved? Poor William Cowper, he got in such an awful, despairing condition, he tried several times to commit suicide. He didn't know how to get to Christ, he said. Let me tell you, if you're here this morning, let me tell you another story. There was a man who was blind. His name was Bartimaeus. And he sat next to the city of Jericho. And he was a blind beggar, dressed in filthy garments. Couldn't see a lick. Never saw a sunrise or a beautiful sunset. Never saw his mom or his dad. Couldn't see anything. Couldn't tell you the colors. He was a beggar. And he heard that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by that way. He said, what's the commotion about? What's all this crowd of people doing passing? They said, it's Jesus of Nazareth, the son of David. He's passing by. And what did that man begin to do? He started crying out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. Have mercy upon me. And they said, would you shut up, please? There's so much going on here that's good, and we're following the master and the shepherd. Would you just shut your mouth? We'll be out of here in a minute. Just keep quiet. They could say that because they didn't need like he did. They weren't blind like he was. What did he do? He said, well, I can't see how to get to him anyway. I'm just going to shut up. He didn't say that. But he was desperate. He probably thought within his heart, it's now or never. The master is passing by. It's now or never. So what does he do? He cried the more, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. You don't know the way to Christ? There's the way to Christ. And sometimes when people tell me, Bruce, I don't know how to come to Christ, I want to ask them, have you ever said, Lord, be merciful to me? Have you ever got alone on your knees and cried, Lord, be merciful to me? Well, I've never prayed that. Maybe you ought to do that. That's what this man did. He didn't know the way to Jesus. He couldn't see anything. And yet he got to Jesus. You know what happened? The last time he said, Lord, thou son of David, be merciful to me. You know what happened? Something happened that had never happened before. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, stopped in his tracks. You say, Bruce, what's significant about that? He had never stopped before. Nothing could stop him. He was always on the go. Devils could not stop him. The wind or the waves could not stop him. But a blind beggar screaming for mercy caused the Son of God to stand still in his tracks and said, call for that man. You tell that man to come on to me. And you know what blind Bartimaeus did? I don't know how he seen his way there. I just know he got there. I just know he got there. I can't tell you, dear soul, I can't tell you a bunch of steps to get to Christ to be saved by Him. But I'm telling you this is a good place to start. Jesus, be merciful to me. Don't pass me by. And he came to the Lord, and the Lord said, what do you want? He said, Lord, I want to receive my sight. He said, your faith's made you whole. Go in peace. He didn't go anywhere. You know what he did? He followed Jesus in the way. That's where he went. Can't find your way there? Start like this man did. Here was a blind man who came to the Lord Jesus Christ. You feel like you're blind? Then don't use that for an excuse. Don't go on to say, well, I'm blind, so I can't see my way anyway. Start with crying for mercy. And see if that don't end you up at the feet of the Son of God. to receive your sight. Here's another group of people I want to speak to this morning. Those who may have grown weary with religion. I've grown weary with religion. I'm just tired of it. That's what they'll say. There's so many different kinds anymore. How can you know the way? And I see so much hypocrisy, they say. So much insincerity. I saw not long ago where this one preacher of this mega church wanted them to buy him a jet to get around in for $39 million. How can this world look upon such people like that and have any confidence that there is such a thing of healing of a man's soul? Salvation is real. But when you look at some of these don't it discourage you? I'm sick of it too. But listen, here's my message. Before you throw up your hands and despair of being saved altogether because you see so much insincerity and hypocrisy, even in the church, let me tell you this. Salvation is not in the church. I don't care if you're a Catholic or a Protestant, or you're an Armenian or a Calvinist. Salvation is not in the church. It's not in denominationalism. It's not trading one set of doctrines for another set of doctrines. Brothers and sisters, salvation is in a person. Can I tell you another story? There was a lady who got dressed for bed one night and she noticed she was bleeding. She got up the next morning and she saw it was worse. And she said, I need to get to the doctor. She went to the doctor. He said, yes, this is serious, but I can help you. I've got medicine for this. He took her money and sent her home with a prescription and she got worse. Then she said, well, I got to try another doctor. I've got to find a specialist. And she found one. He said, oh, I can help you. You go home and you try this remedy. And she paid him and went home. And she went through doctor after doctor until she spent all of her money. She had no bank account. She had no house. She had pawned her clothes. And she grew worse. And she could not be healed of any. And then one day, somebody told her, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. The Son of David is passing by. And she said, I'm sick of those guys. Just leave me alone. I'm not trying anything else. That wasn't what she said. She made the most amazing statement. I imagine she heard of Jesus the Lord. And everything she heard about Him was something like this. He's never lost a case. Nobody's ever come to Him that went away sick. And she heard these stories. And she said, He's different. Those other doctors, they're physicians of no value. But this man, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. Oh, she heard something about him, and it set up hope in her heart. He can make me whole. It wasn't easy to get to him. It wasn't easy to get to him. Don't get discouraged, your soul, if you have trouble getting to Christ. Don't throw up your hands in despair if you have trouble believing on Him to the saving of your soul. Just don't lose your sight of need. You're dying. If you don't get to Him, you're going to die. This woman said, if I don't get to Him, I'm going to die. And there was a crowd in her way. And you know what the Bible says she did? She pressed. Somebody got in her way and she moved them out of the way. She pressed to the Savior. And as soon as she touched the hem of his garment, she was made whole. She was healed of her plague. And here's the wonderful thing. She knew it. I believe in the salvation that you can have assurance in. She knew in herself that she had been healed of that plague. But the Lord wasn't going to let her get away so easy. He said, "Who touched me?" He knew virtue had gone out of him. Virtue went out of him to her and healed her. It wasn't in her. It was in him. And he turned and said, "Who touched me?" And Peter said, "Lord, everybody's touching me. Everybody's, look at everybody." He said, "No, somebody's really, really touching me. Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by." I believe in a gospel, brothers and sisters, where Jesus Christ is present even today. You can reach out with a hand of faith and touch the Savior, and you'll be whole. I'm not going to make this hard. I don't believe in this easy believism. But I believe salvation for those who are in need. Just reach out and touch the Savior. Reach out, look to Him. Look unto me and be you saved. One thing about a little baby, it can look. And the Lord says, look. And when you look, you're saved. And the Lord turned to that woman. And he said, "You touched me, didn't you?" And she came and fell at his feet and told him all the truth. I've often wondered if she didn't start mentioning names. She told him all the truth. What did she tell him? I went over there to that quack of morality. He couldn't do anything for me. Then I went over there to reform self. Then I went over there to save yourself. I tried all of these fellas. And only you could make me whole. And she told him that. She told, how many here have tried different ways to save yourself? Wow. I tried all through my teenage years to save myself. And I began to think I'm going to be lost forever. If I can't add something, Christ cannot do it all himself. And buddy, I tell you what, I struggle with that and wrestle with that till I come to the end of myself. It's either a whole Christ or I'm lost forever. He had to save me by himself alone, by his own merits and power, or I'm lost forever. Bruce, what was your part? I did all the sinning. I brought all my guilt and cast it down at his feet. And when I touched him, merit came from him and saved my soul. I hate this religion. I ain't got nothing good to say about it. But I tell you, Christ will heal you. There's one way to be saved, and that's in the Son of God. If you're still trying to save yourself, cast it to the dung and come to Christ. Come to Christ. One more. There's another group of people, and I've ran into these. Even among young people. I think the devil tells young people, teenage people, you've got all kinds of time to live your life and sow your wild oats. Just go have a big time and in our day, get involved with the drugs and the drinks and just live it up. And many of them do. Then it's just a short time when they realize what a mess I've got my life in. Then Satan whispers something else to them. It's not that you've got all kinds of time, but you don't have any time now. It's too late for you. I have talked to teenagers that said, ain't no hope for me. It's too late for me. You're a teenager and it's too late. You know, there's a scripture in, I think it's in Jeremiah chapter 6, where Jeremiah was preaching to people, and they said, there's no hope. No hope. We've despaired of even hoping. Why? We've loved strangers. So after them we'll go. We've continued in sin. We've sinned against the day of grace. The day of grace is past for us. So we'll just continue on in our sin. And they despair and live there. Some of you remember Susan McDonald. You probably remember the name. You remember her, Wanda. Some of us here at the church used to go down to the Waters Nursing Home. We'd go down there for a service, worship service. And one night there was a lady, contacted Gail, I think it was, and said, I need to talk to the preacher. The preacher was already gone. I preached and left. Gail told me about her. I went back and found her. Down in the hallway. I've never in my life seen such a despair on a woman. Her whole countenance told it. She was in utter despair. And she told me that. I can't be saved. I can't be forgiven. She said, preacher, you have no idea who I am or how I've sinned against God in my life. And she said, I earnestly believe there's no hope for me. I tell you, I told her every scripture that I could think of. Not only about the power of Christ to save her, His willingness to save her. That He would get Himself a great name for saving her. Every scripture I could think of about Christ dying for sinners. Come unto me, all ye that lay. I told her every scripture I knew. I emptied my heart before that woman that day. And I left knowing in my heart, if the Lord didn't break through that despair, she would die in her sin. The devil had so blinded her mind. We went back next time to worship, and she wasn't there. And I left again. She told Gail, I got tangled up, she said, in my oxygen cord, and I couldn't get there. It's all tangled up, she said. She said, I need to see the preacher. Gail called me, and I went back down there. Her countenance had completely changed. She said, preacher, the Lord saved me. And she said, it surprised me. I said, what happened? She said, I went to Him and told Him, Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner against You. She said, I told Him the truth. And she said, when I did, He saved me. And she said, I'm just waiting for Him to be pleased to take me to heaven to be with Him. I left there about 10 o'clock that morning and she died about 2. You talk about a brand plucked out of the burning. But how many people live like that? I talked to her daughter at the funeral. She said her mother had been that way all her life. How many people live thinking, there's no hope, it's too late. If that's your thought, then let me tell you one more story, and then I'll let you go. There was a young baby. His mom and dad loved him to death. They sang to him. His mom nursed him and rocked him and taught him. His dad loved him to death. He got to be a young teenager, and he started stealing things. And his dad says, son, you can't do this. He started breaking into houses. He wouldn't listen to mom or dad or the authorities. He started running with a bad crowd. He started stealing to the point that the authorities caught him, arrested him, and sentenced him to death by crucifixion. We're going to get you out of our society, they said. We're not going to fool with you anymore. They put him on a cross, nailed him to a cross. Can you imagine the pain of being nailed to a cross? Can you imagine the agony? Somebody said, well, I'll wait till I'm dying and then I'll turn to the Lord. It just don't happen that way. When you're dying, that's all you're thinking about. Oh, I'm in so much pain. Can you give me something to relieve my pain? Here a man was in so much agony, he couldn't think about the salvation of his soul. He couldn't think about anything but the pain his body was in. In just a few hours, they're going to break his legs and he was going to hell. That's just a matter of fact. There was no hope for this man. But there was somebody on the cross next to him. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, was hanging on a cross, himself in agony and pain. And something miraculously happened. That thief that was ready to die in his sins, hopeless, looked over at the Son of God and said, I know that you have a kingdom. I know that your Father's given you a kingdom and that you're coming into that kingdom. Would you remember me when you do? Boy, I tell you what, if there's ever a trophy of grace, this man couldn't do anything. You're talking about reformation? He was nailed to a cross. You need to be baptized. Yeah? You get me down and I will be. You need to join the church. You need to straighten up your life. Man, I can't do any of those things. I'm dying in despair. God help every one of us to come to that place. If that's what it takes to look out of ourselves to the Son of God to be saved. And the Lord Jesus made this statement to this man. And he's going to need this statement too. He said, today, you shall be with me in paradise. Today you're going to be with me in the Father's house. You're going to have to suffer. And you're going to die. But the instant you leave this world, you're going to wake up with me in heaven. I'm sure there were people left there that day thinking, I don't know about that middleman, but those two men on either side of him is in hell tonight. One of them may have been, not the other one. One of them may have died in despair. Boy, the other one didn't. You think there's no hope for you? I'm not asking anybody to procrastinate, but I tell you this, as long as a man is breathing, there's hope in Christ. If he's pleased to save you, there's hope in him. Now, why won't you come? You feel too vile? Well, here's the vilest man you ever seen came to it. Feel like you can't find him? You don't know how to come to him? Well, here's a blind man that came to it. You think I'm just tired of religion? And here was a woman that tried all kinds of positions, but she came to Christ. And here's a man in his dying hours that came. Why won't you come? If you're here this morning and you haven't come to Christ, ask yourself this question. Why don't I come to Christ? And you'll find the answer in the message this morning. Lord, we thank you. Thank you, Father, for sending us a Savior, a great physician, to heal us, to heal our souls' diseases, to wash us from our vile sins and our vile habits and make us clean. And give us hope that someday you'll completely heal us, our soul and body, never to get sick and die again. Would you be pleased this morning to use these frail, stammering words? It's your gospel. Oh Lord, use it for your glory. Use it to bring some needy sinner to yourself. We ask for Christ's sake. Amen. Anything before we go? Anybody have a song you want to sing before we go?
Two sixty-four.
Why don't you stand with me if you'd like to? You want to do that? 264. I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God disclosed. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever. Sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. He tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I'd stay in the garden with him, night around me be falling, but he bids me go through the voice of woe. His voice to me is calling, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry.